You know, if we never finish the prepackaged adventure, while Lev might be unhappy about that turn of events, you know, as long as the story's great, whatever. So,
I'm not really shooting for that. I'm just out of this encounter specifically. I'm just trying to get Nolly back and if sparks fly somewhere else, that's all good.
Right.
That'll add a nice touch to the rest of
a little uncomfortable.
You say yeah. Uncomfortable. I say nice touch.
Well, you don't know that we're not saying the same things.
All right. Welcome to Numenera Unplugged. Your NC-17 late night role playing experience.
I'm scared.
I love it.
For our listeners at home who did not just immediately listen to our last session, this is going to be a special session with just two of our characters so we can resolve a storyline in a series of events where they were away from the rest of the party. And I'm anticipating that we'll finish this up tonight and then it'll sync us back up to being able to start a full session in a few weeks and kind of have everyone back in the same place and hopefully pointed in the same direction. So
sync back up to the B team.
Exactly. Assuming they've not managed to burn down the Tychronis estate and get themselves sold off into slavery.
Guys, I got bad news and bad news.
Exactly. I'm telling you, Sammer is really an Academy Award actor, and you just don't realize it until you listen to the playback.
He is. I love Sammer. I just want to say that up front. But he is a unique combination of shyness and over-the-top acting ability.
Yep.
Like in our Gamma World sessions, I forget what we started doing, but like Pete was having us make noises and stuff, and like he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it, and yet, in the Numenera session, he did that Sassoon thing, and he started with it.
He killed it.
Oh yeah. So he's awesome. I love it. I love the shot. I love both parts. I just want to smooch his bald head.
I'm just assuming that's because I'm a better GM than Pete, and that's what's going on here. Yeah.
Well, we can go with that.
Bring that out. Throw the gauntlet down.
You are an excellent GM, Rex. You should not.
Well, thank you.
Short.
All right.
You definitely have more sessions on your belt. Yeah, it's new. All of it's been really good.
Excellent.
I'm loving Scup.
Yep. Oh yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's yeah, and I'm loving running it. So and again, not to scare anybody, but you know, I play Scup. And play with those tools and play with that really like tight focused system. And then I come back to Numenera and I'm like, this is great in a sense that it's easy, but it doesn't actually really help me tell any particular type of story.
No. It's more traditional.
It's traditional and it's light. These are all good things. But you know, I don't know that it would go to the Desert Island RPG box. So
I don't know. Well, fair. You know what? We're wasting all this. We'll save it for next week.
Save it for the podcast.
Save it for the podcast.
Me.
Ready for my close up.
Okay. So we have Hommet and Riminel. And for those of you listening at home that don't recall, when their scenes ended, it has been a while. Life, the universe, and everything kind of threw us a few curveballs. Mm-hmm. They had gone to the slave market in Ushan in an effort to recover the young boy Nolly, who had been taken from Saddleback Ridge, I believe is what we called that place. Up in the mountains of the Riage, Saddleback Vale, excuse me, by slavers located in Ushan. And Hommet and Riminel had gone there to try to recover the young boy. Riminel for reasons that she's not fully divulged, was certain that the main slaver, Alafi, was dead. So she was somewhat taken aback in the slave market when Alafi tapped her on the shoulder and proceeded to charm her and swoon her. And some other stuff happened in that market as well. And Ruminal, are you ready to reveal, or you want to leave that kind of mysterious at this point in time?
Well, let's leave it mysterious.
All right. I'm titillated. Well,
what the listeners remember, if they think back, is that Hammett suddenly realized that Ruminal was the subject of Alafi's attention, and he didn't want to immediately have a confrontation, so he was kind of stalking them, and I'll leave that word lingering, watching what was going on so intently that he didn't realize that three House Karthos guardsmen had approached him. They attempted to lay hands on him in order to speak with him. The laying on hands part went poorly for the guardsmen.
My proudest moment.
But Hammett was asked a series of questions about Ruminal. He declined to answer most of them, but he did agree that this character, Razia, who apparently is very intent on speaking to Ruminal, would send a message to the Fighting Crown later in the evening. He would make sure the message was relayed for a place to meet, for Ruminal and Razia to meet and talk. And that's kind of where we left it at the end of the session. Do you agree, Ruminal?
I do.
Do you agree, Hammett?
Yeah, I just listened to it, and that's pretty right on.
Okay. So do y'all want to pick up in media res right where we were, or you want to hit the fast forward button a little bit?
We can hit the fast forward button a little bit. I mean, I'm assuming you mean Ruminal and Alafi in the bar.
Potentially. Hammett, I do have one question. Mm-hmm. When you were talking to Razia, mm-hmm. you asked that he send a message, I think, at the equivalent of 8 p.m. at night. So if you remember, this is going on in the probably early afternoon. Mm-hmm. So were you intentionally setting it as a long time out before that message arrived, or were you not really thinking of it that – did you pull that number out specifically, or are you just going to pull that number out as a number to pull out?
The number smells a little bit like my ass. So we can retcon that if you feel it would flow better. I'm all for the collaborative storytelling, Rex. There's no reason we can't use there's no reason we can't use these tools that other games have taught us in this.
Exactly. So I just think it maybe rather than have it be a very specific time that you just said, send a message there later, and then that way the appropriate time
probably
I'll determine the message arrives.
We will leave a message for you there, so that way Ruminal could pick. She probably would have a better, if I was thinking about it, but we can leave it as is. But I would.
Okay.
Hammett might not have been thinking about it. So.
All right.
He's a little, he may be low in blood flow. It's all blushing. I'm all blushing.
That's right.
And Ruminal, as we close the session, there was a period of time where it just appeared that you were almost fully under the sway of the charming, dashing, debonair Alafi. But seeing your comrade in arms, your friend Hammett, I mean, he's just a friend. Mm-hmm. He's just a friend.
That's right.
Right? Just a friend. In distress, kind of galvanized you and focused you and put you back on a little more even keel, and you realize this isn't this isn't a night out to have fun, that you're here for a reason, and there's some pretty serious stuff going on. There is a job to do. So you're in a little better shape as you and Alafi make your way towards the Fighting Crown. He's continuing to make small talk, point out, the local sites. I assume that you probably are playing dumb to some extent.
Yeah, I'm very impressed by the things he shows me.
That's not surprising. Everyone's very impressed with Alafi. it's kind of the way things go. So you make your way into the Fighting Crown. Hamet, what is your plan?
So describe to me, does Hamet, is there like, does he feel like Alafi's noticed him at all? I'm guessing not, but.
Yeah, no, I don't. If you want to make an intelligence roll, we'll firm that up.
All right. I will not spend any effort.
All right.
Now I got to remember intellect.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just put in, I'll leave the difficulty. Excuse me, effort I'm going to put to zero. What does green and red mean? Oh, I'm just going to click.
I think go with green. I think red is...
Ooh.
Boom. 17. Nice. 17. Okay. And I'll retcon this a little bit. So as you were resolving your situation with Razia, you definitely... there was like this briefest of moments where Rimino was like looking over her shoulder, and y'all made eye contact for like, you know, a second and a half, mm-hmm. but you know, you transmitted a couple gigs of information in that second and a half that you looked at each other as far as, you know, oh yeah. Yeah. it was clear line, straight line.
Good connection.
Yeah. No kinks in the optics. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
yeah, the handshake protocol like, though.
So you clearly got the sense that she recognized that you were in a situation, but you also kind of conveyed you had a handle on it, and
did
in
I
that
convey like I'm really kind of upset about what's happening with you and Alafi.
You did.
Yeah. I think that's part of the sobering effect, right? Part of
right.
The,
yeah. Like, I'm upset effect. About it in the way like that when women do this kind of thing on purpose to get guys upset, that it is being very effective.
Right. Yeah, Riminal, I definitely think you are getting a little a dose of your life's a lot more complicated than you thought it was. At this moment in time,
from what I can understand of what's going on, I feel like it would be hard for her life to be any more complicated.
Now, don't put a challenge like that in front.
there's plenty to come.
Yeah,
I gave Rex plenty of ammunition.
Yeah.
Yep. So, to answer the question that started this whole role, you're also fairly sure that Alafi was not looking back or aware of you; that he was talking and gesturing, and you almost get the sense that, you know, when Alafi's holding out, particularly when he's now in this kind of public situation where he's walking out, you know, there were a few people like kind of like, oh, Alafi, and patting him on the shoulder and smiling at him. So, you know, at this point, it's Riminal's job to fawn and adore him. He's got to make sure that all his public is getting a piece of Alafi. So he can't just be staring at her the whole time, right, like some moonstruck, you know, farm boy from the foothills of the Riage.
But somebody
he's
kind
Alafi.
Of like looking at him and or maybe like kind of following him a little. He's going to like just – that's normal for him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's got people who fawn over him all the time.
Alafi came up in the fighting pits and – and came out of the fighting pits. You just, you know, reality of that experience for Alafi is he just doesn't really consider very many people to be a real danger to him. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he basically spent years and years of his life assuming that it was a foregone conclusion that he was going to die a violent and horrible death, he's just kind of at a point now where it's like, hey, you know, if it does happen, whatever. I had a much better run than I ever thought I could have. So. So they make their way to the Fighting Crown. What are you going to do?
I'm going to follow them in after, you know, a minute or so and try and surreptitiously insert myself at a corner table or something unobtrusive.
Okay. So as you were – so you were a little bit behind them coming out of the market entrance, correct?
Yeah.
All right. So what you noticed as you were – right as you were coming out, you know, they're maybe 50, 60 feet ahead of you, that there was another wagon coming in, and this wagon is beat up. You know, clearly been attacked, and the, you know, people running the wagon, there's like two guys at the front of the wagon. One of them is running the wagon. He's clearly injured. Another one might be dead, is like kind of slumped over on him. He's either dead or he's in really, really bad shape. And the slaves in the back of the wagon, several of them, you know, don't look like they're in good shape either. And there's kind of like blood dripping out of the wagon. As that wagon makes its way in, and there's a little bit of a tumult as people begin processing this wagon coming in. So,
duly noted. Maybe, yeah. Maybe somebody should write this down. Are you writing this down, Jason?
I am not writing this down.
I started to. I got you.
I make it up. You guys write it down. This is this is the social contract of this thing. Okay, so Remino, you are in the fighting crowd with Alafi. It's afternoon, so it's not super crowded. But again, as soon as Alafi hits the door, the people that are there are like, oh, hey, Alafi, whatever. And he kind of smiles. And the guy that runs the place, same one that you saw there before, you know, comes out from behind the quote-unquote bar and you know, greets him and kind of fawns over him and ask how he is. And, you know, Glaffy, of course, you know, he, no matter how bad a day he might have had, he's not going to let anybody know he's had a bad day. So he's, you know, all smiles and, ah, you know, wonderful, great to be here again, you know. And now the tavern keeper, bar keeper, whatever you want to call the guy, is processing Rimmonel on Alafi's arm. And kind of the eyebrow goes up and kind of knowing look and oh, you know, well, let's get you your favorite table, Alafi. And he takes him to a place that, you know, it's like the VIP table in the establishment. And you sit down with Alafi, Rimmonel. What are you going to do?
I think after drinks are ordered, it's mostly kind of surface level talk. I think, you know, kind of part of where we left off was, and this is a real interest of Remonel's, is trying to find out, you know, hearing his tales, hearing his stories about the fighting pits, and just, you know, even if it's just bluster, you know, she's interested in hearing it, and she'll continue to listen to kind of put him at ease.
Okay. Do you ask any questions?
Just like prodding, or, you know, if he's talking, she'll, you know, oh, tell me a little bit more about this, and oh, you know, that must have been so scary, you know, questions like that of trying to just pull surface level information out of him and set him at ease, kind of getting into the conversation. She's drinking claret or, you know, something like that, a bold red wine.
Okay. Give me an intelligence roll. I can tell you. Okay, or you can just do it.
No, wrong button, but I'll take that 15.
Let's see what that did. I don't know what that did. All right. You have the strangest when I mouse over your stuff. I don't really know what you've managed to do there, but that's all right. So he's telling his story, and again, he is just – while he's certainly a cocky and accomplished and confident of himself in all manners. He's not an asshole. He's not false, and it's not pretentious. This is just like somebody who's had an amazing life and they fully embrace life. And while he understands, you're getting the sense that, you know, he realizes he's a quote unquote celebrity. And so that carries an obligation to be a celebrity. This is not like he's insecure and he's, you know, putting this on and he's not stuck on himself. He's really actually seems really self-aware, which is just kind of intriguing to you. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of draws you into the conversation. And you didn't even really fully appreciate this. But as the conversation really started flowing, you know, you asked a few questions and he kind of got a strange look. And he stops and he says, "It seems you know very much about the fighting pits of Yushan. Much more than I could have taught you in just the few minutes we've been talking. Maybe your story is more interesting than Alafi's." Regina.
And Ramonel remembering, you know, 8 weeks ago, him making a comment in the market that he did kind of peg her as someone who carries that posture of a former slave. Ramel does open up a little bit and says, yes indeed. While I lived in Yushan, I never had the pleasure of seeing you fight, but my father was also a fighter."
Alafia's eyes really kind of bore in. He leans forward, puts his drink down. "Now that is quite interesting. Would your father have had a name?"
"My father fought for the Carthsonians. She's contemplating giving her father's name for fear that it might kind of reveal her name, but she will say he was a great man. His name was Rafna. Did you ever fight with him?"
He kind of sits back and lets out, "Rafna. That is a name. It has been a long, long time. I was never so fortunate as to fight with Rafna. I was just a young boy when he was a champion of great renown. You are the daughter of Rafna."
I am the daughter of Rafna. Sadly, he never got to realize the dream that you have of fighting his way out of the pits.
I was there that day.
As you well know,
I was there that day.
He died in the pits. I was not. But hastily told stories informed me of his brave and glorious death. So to answer your question, I know a little of the fighting pits.
He's very, very intrigued now. You have moved well out of the realm of Bobble into sustained interest. So he begins to ply you with questions about, you know, growing up in House Carthos and more about Rafna. He's not yet asked questions about how you left Yushan and why you're back, but you suspect those are probably coming at some point in time. Mm-hmm. Hamet, did you come in or are you still outside?
No, I came in.
Okay. All right. So you see this going on over in the, you know, I'm going to say kind of a corner, but it's a corner almost designed that everyone would see that corner. Is that making sense? In other words, this is like the VIP table. And again, clearly the guy that runs this place wants to make sure that anybody that comes in realizes that's Alafi and his establishment, you know, doing what he is doing. So are you trying to be inconspicuous? You know, are you at a table? Are you at the bar? What are you trying to accomplish other than watch what's going on?
Yeah, I'm just trying to be inconspicuous. So if there's a you know, if I can, if it's like the you know, there, if it's like the prominent table that you can see from anywhere, I'll just try and, you know, blend in, sit at the bar if I can.
Okay.
And just kind of, you know, not openly stare, but keep an eye out on what's going on.
As you like furiously peel the label off your beer.
Yeah, crunch some ice, perhaps.
That's my move.
That's why I said it.
So the...
And I guess we didn't, you know, we're not tactical mapping this.
Yeah.
And I guess just to give you, Rex, some fuel, I would assume Alafi, being the fighter he is, sits to where he can see the front door, so I'm with my back to Hamid now.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
Or fortunately. Depending on how you feel about this situation. Eyeballing him the whole time might make things a little more difficult for you. So the Hamid, the tavern keeper, master, comes over. Ah, friend, you did return. And wait. And then he looks a little confused. And then he looks over at the table where Alafi is. He starts to say something, and he looks back at you.
Gin and say, how about a tall drink of your best spirit, my friend?
And he's like,
and I'm gonna stare at him.
Would that is that for just for one? Just
how about you keep them coming until this runs out?
Oh, excellent, excellent, certainly. Yes, thank you. Your shins are always welcome here, sir. I will you are you going to be no, that's okay. So, because he almost said something, and he's already picked the vibe up that that's probably not the thing to say at this point in time.
Staring at him the whole time, like.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hey, I'm stalking this lady. Don't mess with my mojo.
Both of y'all.
This is my romance move.
Excellent. All right. So you're sitting in there pounding drinks.
Staring.
And
no, I'm not going to drink quickly, but I'm definitely going to drink. You know,
you're having your.
Yeah.
You're having your drink.
It's in my mind, Hamid is, he will drink probably more than he should, because he'll sit there and kind of stew, but he'll realize he probably shouldn't get drunk. So it's kind of, he's kind of going to be balanced between the two. He'll like catch himself drinking, like, and then put it down. It would be kind of humorous to watch.
Right. So, Remen, I'll cut back to you. And so that, you know, you've been kind of talking about your life, and Alafi's like now almost barely taking any drinks of his drink. Seems like fully engaged with the story of your experience. And now he's getting to the point where he interrupts and he says, so I was there the night your father died in the arena. It was sad. Many of us looked up to him. He took a time to help the young boys and give us encouragement and positive things to think about. So he must have been a great father at home. But you said you weren't there, so where were you the night he died? And where have you been?
And she'll try to divert a little bit and say, tell me about his death. The night he died, I was spirited away and cut glimpses from my family, but but never heard the real story. Tell me how he died.
Oh, you're going to have to roll intelligence to shake him off like that. Do you have any social skills that are going to help you in this situation?
Of course I don't.
He does. So you're unfortunately going to – you're starting with a difficulty level of 8. Ow. Yeah.
Is that possible?
Not yes, because you can spin down. So actually, hold on. Let me go look at something real quick.
Well, no matter what number you would have said, I'll spend one.
Actually, it's a 7. Okay. I was making it harder than I need to, so it was a 7.
If you don't spend one, it's impossible.
Right.
Yeah. That means
you got to spend to have a chance.
Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah.
So he says, well, he died like most men die in the pits, tragically and horribly, and just wasn't perfect at the wrong moment in a fight. And really wasn't much more to say than that. But again, I don't know that if you've seen one death in the pit, you've seen 100 deaths in the pit. So where were you again, and where have you been? That's the interesting question.
She says, the night he died, I was not quite 16. And my family had orders that he was so close. He was so close to getting out of the pits.
He was indeed.
But my family had orders that if he were to die, if he were to be slaughtered in those pits, that I was to be taken out of Yushvan. And that is what happened. I was smuggled through some secret tunnels out of the city and into the world at large. And for the last 7 years, I've been out in the world making my own way.
How, pray tell, did you get back into our fair city? And he reaches down as he says that, and he grabs your arm, not in a like forcible way, in kind of a gentle way, and he kind of gently massages across the inside of your forearm, the same place that when you first entered the city, they kind of scanned and then let you through. So he looks a little puzzled as to how you could get back into the city and still be walking around.
And she'll just, you know, kind of pull back, crossing her arms around her stomach.
Felt really nice when he did that, by the way.
Not that nice.
Moment angry.
I hadn't quite been inducted into the house staff, shall we say.
That makes sense. But why come back? Terribly dangerous. I admit that I find it attractive, and I'm most happy that you took this dangerous gamble, but still, seems quite dangerous to come back. Something very important must have brought you here.
We had that encounter in Saddleback Vale, and that poor boy's family begged me, pleading, imparting me on a quest to find their son and bring him back. And I saw you at the time for what you were. I of course couldn't admit that at the time, but your posture and the way you walk is definitely a pit fighter of Yushvan, someone of great renown if you were no longer in the city. I had to find out more about you, and I had to find that boy and send him home.
Hamet, make an intelligence roll for me. Difficulty 6. You can spend.
Brutal.
Yeah, let me see. I have no intelligence, I'm sure. So I'd have to spend 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's do it. So.
Let's do it!
Do it. 3 bonus effort. Yeah, that ain't gonna do it.
Okay, all right. So, back to Remenel for a moment. You're talking to Alafian again. He's been very, very attentive and engaged, and much more now that he. He's now really seems to be genuinely interested in your life story versus just interested in getting in your pants, for lack of a better term. Mm. Not saying he wouldn't want to get in your pants.
He's male.
But now it's potentially even a more enticing proposition that he sees you as a person who's had this extremely interesting experience and has done this incredibly dangerous thing coming back to the city. But you do sense that he is not completely focused on you. And as you kind of finish talking about Saddleback, he kind of gets a knowing look and nods. And he goes,
oh, shit.
That's why the big guy's sitting over there.
Sorry, Hamet.
All right.
Fuck.
And then you see his attention shift a little bit more. And Hamet, you would have noticed this earlier. Except you didn't. There was another table that had several men with like House Marie insignia colors, whatever you want to call it, on that had been drinking. And one of them has gotten up and has kind of clearly been drinking pretty hard. And he's about halfway to Alafi before you realize that somebody is walking over there. So, and Remenel, you realize that Alafi's now focused on something else. What do you do?
I will look over my shoulder to see what he's looking at.
Okay. So, you pan around the room, and the first thing you track on is there's a underling guard guy with House Marie insignia colors, kind of making his way over. He's got a drink in his hand, and doesn't look real happy and does look like he's definitely been drinking. And then you realize behind is, in fact, Hamet sitting at the bar, looking a little bit startled by what's going on. So, and this guy walks up to the table. Alafi, what are we going to do about this? We're just going to sit here. We're going to sit here and get drunk and mourn the passing of our brothers. Why aren't we going back out to do something? You're the great Alafi. Aren't you going to protect us? Aren't you going to defend us? And Alafi is just kind of looking nonplussed as he sits there.
And Remen will ask, what happened? What does the great House Marie need protecting from?
I'm not talking to Alafi's whore.
I'm not talking to him. I was directing my question to to Alafi.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't talk to that peon.
Okay. Alright. And Alafi actually like kind of graciously turns his attention back to you and studiously ignoring this guy who's kind of swaying by the table for a moment and said, well, you may have noticed that the wagon when you first arrived was being cleansed and there was a little trouble. There's a madman in the hills, someone who used to fight in the pits by the name of Crixus. he's got some crazed idea that he's going to put an end to slavery, put it into the pits, put an end to Yushan. So he and a small group of other madmen and madwomen live like animals in the hills and periodically will take their chances with us when we are returning with our cargo. It is just the cost of doing business. And then the he's been saying this to you, the marine guard was kind of standing there, slams his hands down on the table and starts to say, "Oh, you're going to talk to your whore, but you're not even going to talk to someone from your house." And about the moment he gets that out, you're not entirely sure what happens, because Alafi moves really fast, but this guy basically is across the table and down on the floor on the other side, and Alafi's on him with his hand around his neck. And again, it was just a blur for you. I mean, your drink got knocked over in the process, but in Hamet, you just see Alafi just kind of halfway rise up, grab this guy by the neck, pull him across the table, bring him to the ground before he can do anything, and he's on him. And the other two Marine guards that are at the table are like kind of stand up now, but you can definitely tell it's in a reaction stand up. Like, mm-hmm. Our buddy just got thrown on the ground, and they're doing the classic, "We're not going to take this shit." And then they're processing who just put him on the ground, and they're like, "But we didn't tell him to go over there. I mean, so maybe
that's the hole you dug, buddy." Homet's not going to react. He's just, just going to watch intently.
All right. Remnel, what are you doing?
I think Remnel will stand up.
Okay. And Alafi is...
More to kind of get Alafi's back than to stop him from whatever he's doing.
Yeah, the two guards, they process you, Remnel, mm-hmm. but they process right. you to some extent, but... you're not in their calculation. Their calculation sure. still seems to be, that's Alafi. I mean, do we really want to go over and get in the middle of this? You don't hear the beginning of what Alafi says, but then because he's kind of leaning over the guy, but then he pulls him up, stands him up, frog marches him back over to the two guards and tells him he's had enough. I think all of you would make a very wise decision right now. If you take him back, let him think about what's happened, and have him be prepared to apologize most profusely to me tomorrow. Unless you want to argue about that. And the other two guards are like, "Oh, I don't know, Alafi. I'm sorry. We're just, blah, blah, blah." And they take him. They bundle the guy out of the bar, and the tavern keeper's over there apologizing. "I'm so sorry, Alafi. They came in and they were upset. One of their friends was the guard who was killed." And Alafi kind of cuts him a look when he says that. And the guy, how about more drinks? More drinks. More drinks always make things better, don't they? More drinks.
And Remnel will make the kind of, yeah, bring two more over.
Yeah. So Alafi is seated again, and you could tell Lisa's like taking a moment to compose himself. And "I'm sorry, Regina, where were we again? Ah, you were talking to me about your decision to come back to this city. Puzzling.
If it weren't such a matter of, well, as you know, life or death, I wouldn't have come. But something in this boy's family spoke to me, and I felt I needed to bring him home. So I wanted to connect with you here, and connect." She kind of, knowing look, and see if we could come to an agreement, and find a way to send that boy from the Saddleback Vale home. And then kind of processing everything that just happened, she says, "Assuming, of course, he made it here after that ugliness.
Oh, that boy? That boy's fine. That's boy fine. Did you know his family?
They treated us with great hospitality while we were staying in their village. And living the life I've led, I despise slavery and slavers. And my father always spoke to us about the evils of the pits. I thought you were going to say drunk duck.
I'm not that drunk yet. He's reading what I'm typing in the journal. I figure I should type while you're the
primary. Yeah, that's fair. I should not read it. She says my father always, when he was able to be home, spoke about the evils of slavery and the horrors of those fighting pits, and seeing that boy, he wouldn't make it past his first fight if that was the lot he drew.
Oh, he's not going to the pits. He's not going to the pits.
I felt I had to do something if I could. And if not, I can't. But I, as a great champion, you have to understand that I had to try.
I find you so fascinating. You speak of the evils of slavery. It's like speaking of the evils of cold or hunger, old age, or the sun rising in the east, or the water running downhill. Slavery is just part of the natural order.
Alafi, this is a big world. This way of life isn't the only way of life. This isn't how things happen everywhere. I've seen places where the strata of this society of Yushvan doesn't exist. I've seen entire cities where everyone works collaboratively and they're not stratified. There are no slaves. There are no nobles. There is a different way. It may not seem like it.
Kind of leans in. You don't look like any mad woman I've met in the past, but you sound somewhat like a mad woman, but not in an angry way, like just a genuinely like, what is this thing that is in front of me talking to me? You are the most intriguing person I have met in a very long time, Regina. How long are you going to stay in our fair city?
She says, at least 3 or 4 months.
He smiles broadly. Well, we normally don't conduct the sale of slaves here in the Fighting Crown. That's what the market's for. So if you want to buy the boy back, I'm sure the master in the market will be happy to make the appropriate arrangement. It means nothing to me who buys him.
And how much would that cost exactly?
I normally don't really worry that much about these things. I don't know, 70 shens, I think, something like that. No more than 100, that's for sure.
Could you arrange with the master to arrange an interview with the boy so that I can assure him that his family is thinking of him and put his mind at ease in the meantime?
– You want me to make arrangements for you to be in the presence of another man and not my presence?
You could certainly
join. It doesn't appear to be to Alafi's benefit. He sits back with a big smile.
Tell me what would be in it for you.
Now the wolfish look is back on his face, so perhaps I could perform another type of intervention with the master. If I were so inclined, I might even be able to release the boy to you, since it appears that a traditional purchase, may be beyond your means at this time.
And what might that entail?
Big smile. He kind of leans in, runs a gentle caress down the side of your face. Perhaps an evening with Alafi so that we can further explore the many things you've learned in this world that Alafi knows nothing of. Maybe I could teach you a few things that you've missed in your time away from Yushan.
And as he's saying that and kind of caressing her face, she'll reach up and do the same to him. And
Hamet, what's going on?
I would say Hamet is now drinking heavily.
Things have gone to another level at this stage.
Yeah.
Looking pretty serious.
Here's how I
this
feel.
Does hurt. This hurts.
Here's how I feel not that happy. Hamet is feeling. Hamet is feeling like, well, you know, I kind of felt like, you know, we had something, but maybe it was all one-sided, and he's not the most self-confident of people, so he's basically saying, oh, shit, well, there goes that.
But at least it's not Lev.
or God forbid Dalen.
Exactly. Yeah. There you go.
It's he's now he's not trying to stay sober.
Yeah. Hamet, you've kind of been tunnel visioned on this, but you have noticed now suddenly as you stop to think, maybe you're getting a refill on your drink, that you've kind of heard a little bit of ruckus outside. Not real clear, just kind of some shouting, this, that, and the other, and but not real clear what it is. Nothing like, you know, nobody's screaming fire or, you know, you don't hear clashes of swords or anything like that. But there's something outside has got people excited or agitated.
All right. Hamet's like, fuck this party. I'm going to go outside and see what's happening. Hamet is, you know, pissed.
Fuck. Yeah. So as you step out from in the front of the fighting crowd,
I don't know why I thought this would go well for us. I was really hoping for like a romantic evening with Duck.
It's okay. I'm.
I guess that could still happen.
This is interesting too. Who knows?
It's very interesting.
I'm not done yet.
Yeah,
I understand.
So Hamet, you're out front now, and from your vantage point as you step out, you can kind of see people bustling about. You notice that you can see the entrance to the market. And in the entrance to the market, you can kind of see the people that are kind of running the market, for lack of a better term, like shooing people out. Like all the traffic is now going out of the market. And there's a little bit of contentiousness about this, and kind of like, no, you need to go, you know. And you hear two people walk by, you know, bitterly complaining about, you know, the they're just closing the market for no reason. And, you know, I was getting ready to finalize a transaction, and now they tell me come back tomorrow. You know, and then the deal's off, and I just, you know, really frustrated. You know, I was really counting on getting some more help. I really needed that help, so kind of upset. And then you notice another person in House Marie colors but they look like they're not really a guard. They look more established than that, making their way, you know, really towards you slash past you to the entrance of the Fighting Crown. What are you doing?
I'll ask the guy in the House Marine colors. Hoy, what's going on?
I'm sorry, sir. Have we met before?
No. If you don't want to talk to me, it's fine. Hamid will turn away.
I potentially could do a favor in return for a favor. Are you familiar with the Great Alafi?
I know of him, yes.
Would you know if he's in the Fighting Crown right now?
I know that he is, in fact.
Ah, he is the person I am looking for. So for that kindness, I will give you a small kindness. The market is being closed today so that we can address some business concerns, and some of the customers are unhappy. It's unfortunate from time to time that we can't always provide the services that people expect when they expect them, but it's really just an adjustment that we need to make, and I'm sure things will return to normal. So if you see anyone else, you can certainly say that you spoke to someone from House Marine, and this is a minor inconvenience. It's not a situation to be concerned about. Soon the market will be open and operating as usual. There, friend. A favor for a favor.
Well, thank you. Do you need any help in quieting any disturbances?
Kind of pauses and looks. You do appear to be someone who could handle themselves. Tell me your name. I will mention it to the masters at the market. They're looking for help. They may, in fact, ask you to join them.
Hommet is my name.
All right, friend Hommet. This afternoon would not be the time to make that approach. But you can tell them that you spoke with Faisal. And that Faisal.
How do you spell your name?
If I once was the king of Arabia, it would potentially be F-A-I-S-E-L, but you could probably spell it several different ways and be okay.
How do you spell the name of your house, Faisal?
M-E-R. Give me an E. Give me an E. Give me a D. Mareed, Mareed, Mareed. And he stops like, I can't believe I just did that. I haven't done that since I was 12 years old. Then he walks in. So Rimino, you're in, and you know, time is either stopped or substantially dilated. You know, each of your heartbeats is making a distinct impact on the wall of your chest. You know, you can feel each drop of perspiration as it forms and moves down your body. And this is really just, you just never thought that being in Ushan could be so pleasant and warm and fulfilling. And then you kind of notice out of your periphery that there's someone standing at the table again, and you kind of catch the House Marie colors and sigil, and to your great regret, Alafi withdraws his hand from the side of your face where he was giving you a caress, and he's no longer staring deeply into your eyes. And he's now looking up at this gentleman. Faisal, you are a most unwelcome sight. I can never think when I'm happy at your arrival. And I can never think of dismay at your departure. So what have you come to burden me with tonight or this afternoon? And Faisal just kind of stands there. You can tell that Faisal's heard this over and over again from Alafi. He's not going to take the bait. And well, Master Alafi, your report of your most recent trip should have been delivered personally to the heads of the house. They were quite disappointed when an underling passed on what you had to say. They have many questions. Questions they would like answered now. So I, as usual, have been sent to find the Great Alafi, dig him out of whatever, and he kind of glances over at Rimmonil, encumbrance he might find himself in, and bring him to the task at hand, which is the welfare, the benefit, and the glory of House Mareed. All those things that you fought for, Alafi, and all of those things that have kept you free. And there's kind of an emphasis on the kept you free. And for the only time you've been around Alafi, Rimmonil, you just get the slightest sense of he's slightly on tilt for just a moment. And then he pulls it back together. Now you say, Faisal. And he looks at Regina. Ah, Regina. This is the burden of freedom. It is called responsibility. And alas, my responsibility is going to delay us finalizing the promising arrangement we were looking forward to. Can you make me a promise, Regina?
Can you make me a promise?
An exchange of vows. How propitious this would be. And Faisal's kind of like tapping his foot, like, seriously? So Alafi is, it will fill my heart with the greatest of joy. And the fires of my passion will be rekindled if I return to the Fighting Crown when I'm done with the great House Mareed and attending to their affairs. If I were to lay eyes upon you upon returning.
And Rimmonil says, say about 8 p.m.
I don't think it'll be that long. After and Faisal kind of says, Master Alafi, I should have emphasized many questions. So Alafi says, kind of gets kind of a defeated look. Yes, after dark. We'll have to find some way to entertain ourselves after dark.
I will meet you here.
Excellent. I will stop and speak with the owner and make sure he understands that you are my special guest, that nothing here is beyond your beck and call. And he kind of lifts your hands up and gives you just a very chaste kiss on the hand. You kind of hear a snort from Faisal. Alafi cuts him a look. And then he steps up and he makes his way over to the owner. You see him having a conversation with the owner, and then he and Faisal step away and step out the door. Hamet, you're outside still?
I probably would have kind of followed the guy back in just to see what he wanted.
Okay, all right. So you see this conversation over there. You get the vibe that Alafi is really not happy. And you know, strangely, Hamet, you get this weird, perverse sense of satisfaction that Alafi's unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
Other than your little confrontation in the mountains, the guy's never really done anything to you, so I'm not sure why you got that perverse feeling, but you got it. So Alafi gets up and makes his way over to the owner and then follows Faisal out of the establishment. And Rimmonil's sitting over at the table by herself now. What are you going to do?
I had gotten up. Is my drink still where I was sitting before?
Sure.
I'm going to walk over, pick it up, and then kind of walk over where Rimmonil is and set down my drink rather loudly and then kind of sit down. and take a big swing.
Is it loud enough that it disrupts Reminel doing her status update?
Which status update? On the sheet?
No, like posting on Facebook, oh my goodness, I lived with a Laffy and all that, and
it would be that loud, yeah.
to be fair, Reminel's in this to get Nolly. She's aware of what's going on.
Whatever.
All right.
Whatever.
Excellent.
She's not enamored.
Sure she isn't.
Yep. So let's do this.
I'm thinking with his small brain right now. That's all I'm saying.
So I want to go out of character for like a minute or two to just get feedback from y'all about like where you think things are going, because I want to go grab a beer and I want to kind of like brainstorm for a couple minutes. So we're out of character now.
Okay.
So, Doc, Jason.
So Remina will definitely do what it takes to get Nolly back. I mean, that's kind of her side quest, for lack of a better term.
Yep. Yep.
She is not interested in Alafi. I think she finds him intriguing in a way of, you know, this guy knew my dad and he was a fighter, but it's not. I've been trying to subtly show. I think Reminel does have kind of romantic intentions or feelings, I guess, for Helmet, and feels very safe and comfortable with him. But she's been out in the world. If this guy wants to have sex to get to save a kid's life, that's probably something she would do.
So my feeling is that Helmet's gonna ruin his chance by he's gonna make a bigger deal of this than perhaps it is in Remnel's mind. That's just the way I see Hamid is startlingly similar to the way I would handle this would be he's gonna, because of his lack of self confidence, I think he's gonna say like, okay, well, obviously what I thought I was feeling from her is not true, because maybe he's. I don't know. I get the sense in my head like Hamid is not very experienced in this kind of thing, and that, you know, maybe he doesn't realize that there are women out there that would treat sex so casually, and he's like, well, obviously she likes a Laffy, so I'm just going to shut down.
Okay. And the bigger picture snippets that you guys have been picking up on? Any thoughts about what you because you got a little bit of time here with Alafi out of pocket. Necessarily expect anything, but obviously there's stuff swirling.
The Crixus.
Right?
How do you spell Crixus?
Crixus. It should be further up the document.
We're not going to do that.
Okay. Once you guys, you know what? I'm just going to step away for a minute, go get a beer, and you guys can brainstorm. And then when I come back, you can tell me what your brainstorms are.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
All right. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Is he asking kind of what we want to do about that situation? Is that what he was saying?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I mean, we'll have to ask him when he gets back. But how do we see the story progressing? Because, you know, what he was on Slack, he was talking about. You know, I think he had writer's block. So we could, you know, it sounds like we have a chance to like, well, you know, what would make the best story?
So that's interesting because I kept mentioning it and I really did feel like Alafi was the wagon we saw and that all of his people were dead, including him and Nolly.
Yeah, that is interesting.
And obviously, I mean, that's not the case, and that probably was never the case, but I really felt like that was kind of the pulling the rug. So with this, there is an opportunity to go chase this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not super interested in doing that, because...
To me, it feels like, you know, okay, so yeah, we've got Lev with his problem, mm-hmm. and that's certainly a higher priority. I think Hammett and Remino probably both have this.
Don't forget Homegirl. What is her name?
The young girl?
Yeah, whatever. Mila. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think Mila. So Nolly getting Nolly, I feel like we want to, you know, I know that Remnel wants to get Nolly and Neela, you know, kind of safe. Mm-hmm. But to me, like, I think the Crixus thing is like a longer term. I think when Hammett's kind of perceiving him, this is interesting. This, you know, this might be somebody I'd like to talk to and find out, you know, what his plans are. But it's kind of like this nebulous thing that's out there. And in Hammett's mind, he's, you know, he's like, okay, you know, priority one right now is we're trying to deal with this Nolly thing because that's what Remnel wants. And then priority the next down the list is, you know, we've got to go deal with this thing on Lev's back. And I think, you know, and having more than two priorities in Hammett's head seems like a stretch for him.
Yeah, and Remnel's kind of in that same, like, we have to resolve, and speaking in video game terms, right, like,
yeah,
we need to resolve this subplot, this side quest,
right,
so that we can advance to, you know, dealing with the Insidious Choir however we can,
right,
getting on that fucking train. So the Crixus thing, like you said, that's like point number three, kind of file it, but
right,
maybe it's not something to go grab two horses and go gallop after them.
Right. Multi-front wars and all that kind of stuff.
Or whatever those other things are called.
Yes.
Could just be foreshadowing.
I like foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe Crixus and the guy from the boat meet up somewhere. They're, you know, think off screen. Because Rex is a BBTA MC. That's right. He's working on fronts.
Yeah, I think, just from a, like, you know, I think Hammett has a distaste for slavery, but he's certainly a pragmatist, right? And, you know, he understands that it's been around for a long time, and it's not like, you know, he's capable of, like, play acting.
Obviously.
Yeah, that slavery, you know, like, slavery doesn't bother him.
Right.
Because, you know, it's a reality of the world, right? He wishes it wasn't so, but, yeah.
Yeah, Remnel's, obviously.
Yeah, he's got
very against it.
Yeah, somehow he's got some morals down there, but I think he suppresses them a lot.
Okay. So, in my mind, still out of character for a few more moments, I was going to let things play out in the tavern for a little bit, and then depending on what the characters want to do, I was potentially going to hit the fast forward button and just jump ahead to the evening.
8 p.m. This conversation between Hammett and Remnel should be interesting.
Yeah. So,
but
okay, so
but
that's like an episode of Friends.
Remember, no real love story, you know, easy paths to love are never good.
Right.
I know your favorite book.
let's
make this happen.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't, and I'm not sure I want to, so. Okay.
Want to know.
So are we getting ready to go back in character?
It's a very good book.
Yeah.
All right.
We're ready.
Yeah.
And action. So
Numenera. You didn't do it this time.
Numenera.
You started good and then you lost it.
So we come back from the...
What kind of beer are you drinking? I'm going to keep us out of character for a moment.
Stella. Because that's what my wife...
High fucking class.
That's what my wife drinks. So I'm not enough of a player to keep multiple beers in the house.
Doug's drinking Japanese whiskey.
And I am drinking Suntory Harmony, which is fucking awesome. The guy at the liquor store had to get it from underneath the counter, and it was his last bottle.
I've got some tequila, but I don't have anything to mix it with, and I'm not man enough to drink straight tequila. So
I thought, are you coming to AACCon? You're
I am
one of those guys. Okay, good. We'll have some Don Julio Blanco, and I'll give it to you neat.
Nice. Okay.
That's good.
It's like the sweat off of Claystone's nipples. It's delicious.
There we go. That's a thought. Mm-hmm. I think we may have just gone to hard R rating at this point in time. So
NC-17. NC-17.
You know, we drop all these Claystone Easter eggs in just because I'm desperately hoping one day he's like, all right, I'll listen to one of these role playing things. We'll see what this is about.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen. That's not why I drop them in. Everybody knows who Claystone is in the guild, so that's why I drop.
That's
them.
Right. I know. That's why I drop it in as well. Yeah.
And all 30 of you, thanks for listening.
If we get 30 listeners, that's pretty good.
We get regularly 43.
Nice.
Yeah, which is pretty good.
That's a t-shirt with like 43 on it right there.
Yep. It's not 42, but it is 43.
That's close.
The Toyota Prius commercial comes to an end. The camera comes back into focus.
Nice.
There's Rimmel sitting at the table looking a little bit uncomfortable. Hammett's just kind of loudly placed his drink down on the table. Cue. Action.
So, Remnel's kind of she obviously didn't know that Hammett was in the bar and until relatively recently, so she's kind of fiddling with her claret, kind of almost twiddling her thumbs as she has her fingers kind of wrapped around the stem of the glass. And she says, Hammett, you have to stay with me on this. We have to get Nolly back. Mm. You have no idea what it's like to be a slave in Yushan. Mm. We need to get Nolly back. I will do almost whatever it takes to get him back to Mila, and maybe we can get them on their way. After we deal with the, Lev's situation.
Hammett's sullen expression will soften a little, but all he's going to do is grunt.
Oh. How hard do I go on this?
It's up to you.
I know. And she'll reach across the table and kind of grasp his hand.
He's going to pull away.
Okay. So say, I just...
He's going
to
say fine.
I just listened to somebody playing the Firebrands game. And every question in that is... Every time you do something in that game, you have to ask, may I or can I? Or,
oh, Jesus.
So... So you pull away and you say,
violently, but, and then he's mm-hmm. he's gonna sigh and he's gonna go, fine. What do we need to do?
I need to know I have you at my back. This man has been through things that neither one of us can understand. And he has his ways. He has his simple ways. But like I said, I have to get Nolly back. I need resolution for this. Trust me, this is strictly business.
I have your back.
Thank you. Thank you, Hammett. Do we want to strategize a little bit, or do we just kind of want to jump forward?
Well, I feel like, Hammett's going to maybe drink for a little bit.
And I think Remnel is keeping pace.
I think he's going to relay the encounter he had with the House Karthos. And then,
okay.
How did we
see? I forgot about that.
How did we leave it, Rex? with all our retconning, were we going to leave a message for them, or were they going to leave a message for us?
Well, why don't you role play out right now with Remenel, the relaying what took place, and then however you decide to leave it at the end of that role playing will be how you left it with the House Karthos people.
Yeah, because I think she saw Hammett talking to people, but didn't necessarily see who she was, he was talking
to. Right? So,
Take a drink.
I talked to some friends of yours before your little conversation, dripping with sarcasm, with
I don't have many friends in you, Sean.
I was being sarcastic. Your friends from House Karthos, and I got his name, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And I'll shudder a little bit at the Karthos name.
What was it?
Razia.
Razia. Yeah.
So when Hammett sees her shudder, his eyes will. I don't know if she's looking at him, but his eyes will get softer. But he's just full of. And he's like, oh, shit. All right. But he'll say, yeah. Those you saw that little altercation I had on the way into the bar. Your former associates, Razia, was one of them. Want to talk to you? I didn't give them anything, but I told them. I told them if you wanted to meet with them, you'd leave them a message with this bartender. About where and when you wanted to meet.
And Hammett will see as when he says Razia, she softens in a similar way, and kind of has even less of that kind of business, like let's get the mission done, and she'll say, Razia, I haven't heard that word spoken aloud, that name spoken aloud in years. I've disallowed myself from speaking it. Razia is not an associate. Razia is not a friend of mine. Razia is my brother.
Dun, dun, dun!
Hammett will go stone-faced. As he processes. And then
Razia is working for House Karthos. And she's looking around, processing. Like, what does this mean? What could this possibly mean? Having Razia in the colors, is he. With this information, with this potential meeting, is it family? Is it business? How she's trying to figure this out, and obviously we don't have the answer right now, which is
so I think the Hammett joy of this. Pick up on her. What's the right word? Confusion thinking, and say, well, you're not gonna find out what he wants till you meet with him. So. Let's figure out where you want to meet with him.
Did he look well?
Yeah. He was, and he had goons with him. Although, they weren't that great of goons. And Hammett's going to chuckle a little bit.
And Remino will join in on that laugh. And Rex, correct me if I'm wrong, I saw my mom also, right?
You did not see your mother.
No, okay. I just saw the colors. That's right.
Yeah. You saw the colors and you saw Razia.
Yeah.
I remembered something, but I think I was talking out loud. Yeah. More of the wagon bits of me postulating what's happening in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he didn't. He didn't seem like you were enemies. So, huh?
Oh, God forbid.
Yeah. So it seems.
So
like
what did you agree to?
I agreed I didn't want to tell him anything about you. I didn't know who he was. I had no idea he was your brother. But what I agreed was that if you agreed to meet with him, you would leave a message at this bar, which he could pick up later today, about the details of the meeting. So,
and who should I leave that message with?
The barkeep.
Maybe just the barkeep.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. And Reminald does want to meet.
Yeah. We wouldn't want to interfere with your nighttime activities.
I knew that was coming.
A little bit of bitter tone. Was coming.
Oh. And she kind of, you know, side-eyes Hammett and says, perhaps tonight isn't the best time to meet, but maybe it is. Oh, I don't know.
You can noodle on that for a minute.
Yeah.
You can even talk it out with Hammett.
I'm just trying to think from a timeline, you know.
Well, it's still early afternoon, right?
15 minutes. Well, yeah.
It's getting later in the afternoon, and I will tell you that y'all are picking up that the bar, tavern, whatever this is filling up, and you almost get the sense that the owner's initially a little bit puzzled. You know, he's kind of running around. He doesn't have, like, maybe all the help that you would normally have. And there's a pretty consistent tone of people that are mildly irritated. It looks like what's happened – you're deducing that basically because the market was closed early and everybody was kind of chucked out, a lot of people did a screw it, let's go have a drink and bitch for a little bit before we go and do whatever we're going to do. So there's no, like, screaming in anger going on, just a bunch of annoyed people with their first world problems that they can't, you know, immediately access what they want to immediately access. You know, so they're just a little bit bitchy and complaining, and there's some gossip going on, but nothing super coherent.
Hammett will pick up on this, and then he'll say, oh, yeah. By the way, when you were getting lovey-dovey in there, I went outside to see what was going on. There's something weird going on with the market. I don't know if it's worth investigating that. You know, maybe we could get Nolly back without, you know, a nighttime encounter.
Hammett says hopefully. Maybe. We wouldn't have to do the other thing.
Yeah.
You know the thing. So we do have time. Let me speak to the barkeep quickly, and we can go take a look. And Ramona will just tell the barkeep to she'll say someone from House Karthos will be in later this evening. Potentially by the name of Razia. If they do come in, please tell them to meet here for lunch tomorrow.
Okay.
And she'll lay a shin.
He just shoves it back. No. Alafi already spoke to me. You're his most honored guest. I couldn't accept that shin.
And she'll shove the shin back and say, Alafi doesn't know about this. And kind of like, you know, knowing look, do you understand? Alafi doesn't know about this.
And he just kind of palms the shin and takes it. Alafi doesn't know about what?
Thank you. I will see you later this evening, potentially.
All right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say she winks at him.
He kind of blushes a little bit, and, you know, preens a little bit, and, you know, then he goes back to taking care of the surge of customers he wasn't really planning to have in the late afternoon. So
I took that shin off, by the way.
All right. Excellent.
I'm playing fair.
Yeah, I took mine off for my endless bottomless drink too.
There you go. Hey, as long as you hold on to the cup, you can fill that thing as many times as you want.
That's right. So.
Hey, don't tell me that.
Okay, so you guys go out. What are you guys going to try to accomplish?
I'm fully following Hamid's lead on this one.
Yeah, let's. Okay. We're gonna walk over to where the market is and see what we can see.
Okay. So there's no meaningful activity. Well, the gates are closed now, and you don't see any meaningful activity. You see a few guys on the inside of the gates that look like they work there. Again, you know, there's almost no traffic now outside of the gates. So there's enough time has passed since the market was closed that either people are at the Fighting Crown or they've gone, you know, to wherever they normally mm-hmm. go. So it's actually pretty quiet outside the market.
Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll hit up one of the guys that's working there. You know, oi, what's going on?
Call that a knife. It's like, what do you
give him?
What do you want? We're closed.
What happened?
Gate
today?
Didn't tell you.
What happened?
Who are you?
Happened. I'll buy you a drink. Tell me what happened. Next time I see you at the.
Have one of those bottomless cups from the Fighting Crown?
I do.
Oh, those things are great.
I'll give you as many drinks as you want out of that thing.
He kind of looks over his shoulder. He looks back at you and he says, I don't know. You know, people come in wagons and there's blood and people are hurt and there's damaged property. And then the masters start talking and they start running around and then the house messengers, you know, start running this way and that way. And, you know, then they come back and then suddenly, you know, the master's like, we're closed. I mean, I've been here for years. We never closed this early in the day. So,
yeah, you know. I mean, it seems like, you know, slaving's not a – it's not a no-risk business. What the hell? What's different about this?
I don't know. Something's got them spooked, that's for sure.
Huh. All right. Thanks, friend. Well, you see me in the crown. Come on over. I'll give you a drink or two.
All right. I should be out of here in a little while, so I'll all see right. you at the crown, sir.
Sounds good.
Okay. Anything else?
Guess with the gates closed – I don't know. We can huddle. Like, I don't know. I don't know what about, you know, the I'll talk to Romano. I don't know what was different about what information they got that scared them enough to close the market down. It's interesting, but I don't know if it helps us at all.
Potentially has something to do with Crixus.
I would, yeah, it's got.
But
it's
why
got
would
to,
they close
but,
the market? Like, and, he's not in the city.
Yeah, and it wasn't – it couldn't have been anything from a Lafi's report because they had closed it before he got to make – Faisal had come and gotten him. So, yeah, they must have learned something about the attack that maybe that's why Faisal come and got him. Maybe they're all – maybe they learned something and they wanted more details from a Lafi, something about Crixus. But, yeah, we're going to have to maybe, you know – maybe when you're done, and I'm just gonna scoff,
and she'll just say, "I'll do what I can."
Yeah.
These are all interesting questions that the listeners will have to wait to hear the answers in future. So, yeah. So it's if you stick around the market at this point in time, you're gonna start to stand out.
We'll head away from the.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we've been seeing more than either of us are interested in.
Yeah.
Right.
In general.
So we ready to hit the fast forward button to
yeah,
dark?
Let's do it.
Sure.
So you spend the rest of the late afternoon. You go back. The tavern owner is
a light meal, charcuterie maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And
all right. Comment will suggest bitterly.
Dinner's on the house. Your guard buddy shows up from the market, and
I get him some drinks from my bottle.
Get him some drinks, and again, he just kind of bitches about, you know, you just working for the boss, and
yeah, Hammett will totally sympathize.
This or that and the other, and you know.
Let me tell you about whatever. My problems, friend. You know how when sometimes you think you got something good going and then it all falls apart? Yeah.
Oh, you're breaking my heart.
That's what I'm trying
the
to
guard's
do.
Like, oh, you don't, you're one of those guys. I see what you got going on over there. I see what you got going on. That's rude to play like there's some kind of problem when you're having dinner with her. I saw you're eating with. That's
yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it ain't that great, trust me. Hama's doing his best to shoot himself in the foot, by the way.
I love you both.
So you notice a person in House Karthos colors come in and make their way up to the bar owner and begin to have a hushed conversation with them. It's not Razia Remenel. You or Hammett doing anything?
Looking inconspicuous?
Yeah, I won't.
Okay. So there is a brief conversation, kind of a nod of the head. You see something pass from the House Karthos person to the owner, and the owner gets a broad smile that really looks familiar to you. Some kind of agreement, and the House Karthos person walks out. Hammett, doing anything?
You asked me that like I should be doing something, but
You should be doing something, or I'm just messing with you.
You could be. I'll look at Remenel and it's like, do you want me to see where he goes?
Remenel would know, like, where the manor is.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to go back to the house.
I don't think so, yeah.
Okay.
You know, I could... Hama's going to just get up and kind of follow him. Because the fact that Remenel said no means he's going to do it now. He's in total asshole man mode.
And as he's walking away, she'll kind of like angrily whisper without trying to cause a scene, you said you would have my back.
It's like, I'll be right back. Shut up.
There are a couple customers who are like, what is the deal with these two?
I'm just going to walk out. Like, I'm going to go to the door and kind of see which direction he goes. I'm not actually going to leave the bar. Like, make sure he's not, like, going, like, Razia's, like, standing outside the door or something like that.
You don't see Razia outside the door. This guy's making his way away. He's starting to kind of fade off in the darkness.
Hammett's going to walk back over where Remenel is and sit down and sigh. It's like, so when I have your back, does that mean that I'm, like, watching when you perform for Alafi?
Not like that, but I need you to make sure I'm safe. Be within hailing distance. I don't anticipate anything going down, but I need you to understand... This is for the greater good.
Listen, I told you I'd have your back. I'll have your back.
Okay.
I'm not gonna like it.
Just don't run off.
Have your back.
And she'll kind of reach again, not expecting him to leave his hand out.
He won't.
So the two of you are having this kind of very charged, intense exchange. and you're so focused on it, you didn't realize that Alafi has walked back up. And he sits down and kind of throws his arm around Rimmonel's shoulder and kind of pulls her in and looks at you, Hamet, and then kind of looks at you, Rimmonel, and she says, I thought this was just going to be an evening for the two of us, but is your friend joining us? And he kind of raises an eyebrow with kind of like a – I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to that, but I'm just wasn't expecting nice. That. Like, what's
– Nice.
Do you like Turkish bath? Turkish bath. Hamet's gonna turn beet red and say – and, like, mumble something and kind of get up and walk over to the bar, taking his endless drink cup with him.
I just have this picture of the big, like, 44-ounce plastic cup with, like, fighting crown emblazed on it.
And maybe a big straw in it with,
like, exactly, like the big
humongous, like,
articulable straw.
Yeah.
Articulable straw.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Good
big
times.
Gulp, big gulp. The fighting crown, big gulp.
It's all about the branding. So,
Rimmonel will. Rimmonel will kind of grab Loppy's forearm and say, "I was in need of a dinner companion, and my friend just happened to join me." But no, he will not be partaking in this evening's activities.
Shame.
Like, kind of rubbing his forearm.
He's not a bad looking guy. He's got to get checked on those emotions.
And
he's got to get himself killed one day if he crosses me at the wrong time.
I'll let him know you said that. Is everything okay in House Mareed? It sounds like there was a bit of a kerfuffle.
Regina. The one thought that's kept me sane for the last 4 hours, the one thought that has kept me moving forward, is the thought that I was going to leave that endless bleeding and brain of the houses Mareed and Karthos and Laertes, Kaimon, whining about this and whining about that. The thought of coming back and spending time with you was the thought that was getting me through that. Now you want to drag me back to that? It's not very romantic.
And she'll, you know, not giggle, but maybe knowing smile, and she'll say, "I was just making small talk."
Talk. I've had more talk in the last 4 hours than I need for the rest of my life.
Would you care for another drink, or shall we abscond from the fighting crown?
One of the benefits of my continued presence at the fighting crown, and the fact that the owner makes quite a profit off of the fact that I'm known to frequent this place, is he's actually arranged for a private space for me here at the crown.
Of course he has.
Very convenient.
Yes. Well, you know, one more draw. You know that you could come to the Fighting Crown and you might have an opportunity for a private audience with the great Alafi. So we can do both. We can abscond and get that drink that you were speaking of. I presume
the accommodations are comfortable, shall we say. I'm no mere slave girl, after all.
While Alafi has slept on sand, hard rock, in the rain, with the wind blowing, in the cold, I've done all those things, and they made the great Alafi. The great Alafi never enjoyed any of that. Trust me, these are quite fine accommodations.
And Ramana will say, I've slept on and with worse.
And Alafi actually caught that, and he actually, again, you're moving up notches in Alafi's book. Because, you know, you get the sense that Alafi, and you even can kind of tell now that the bar's crowded with the kind of the nighttime crowd, that, you know, in the moments that you look around, that, you know, there are multiple women in the establishment that are cutting you fairly deadly looks, Rimino, because maybe they were hopeful that maybe tonight was the night that they were going to get a twirl with Alafi. So, and you just, from looking around, you get the sense that they, in fact, are mostly baubles, that that they don't have a lot to offer. So
Manila's no bauble.
Manila is no bauble. Alafi is thoroughly intrigued and refreshed with Rimmanel's interaction with him. So
I think as we're talking, she'll stand up and kind of almost take the lead. Again, trying to kind of keep him on his toes of, you know, this is not maybe what he was expecting. And we'll, again, gesture to the bartender for two more. And I'm assuming there's maybe a not obvious or obvious door or stairs or something that they could.
You got him up from the table and made the gesture to the bar. And he, again, seems quite pleased with your forwardness. And it does appear to be something he's not used to. And while you're making that gesture, he's kind of got himself up and straightened himself and slid around you. And he's got one arm around you. And once you're done, like, kind of communicating with the bar owner, he kind of shifts you in a direction. And you can now see that there's a hallway and there's a door at the end of the hallway. So,
and yeah. Passing by Hamet, not making eye contact, like painfully, obviously not making eye contact, like awkwardly, but we'll do the same gesture from the market of, you know, kind of pull him out, like just wait, like, you know, I need you at my back, but just wait.
Okay. What are you doing, Hamet?
Stewing. But sitting there.
Okay.
So sorry.
I'll note where they go. I'll probably, I'll have a strong desire to keep drinking, but I'll probably try and stop.
Okay.
And or, you know, moderate.
Middle ground.
And maybe I'll go and try and – I'll go up to the bar. So I'm assuming they're going to go off to, like, a behind the bar or, like, a doorway somewhere.
There's a hallway that kind of – it's not really behind the bar. There's a hallway that leads down kind of towards the rear of the establishment, and there's a door down there that they appear to be going towards. So yeah.
I'm going to go like, I'm assuming, you know, I can see that hallway from the bar.
Sure.
And I'm going to go up. I'm going to see what's the bartender doing.
He's now got some staff there helping him. Mm-hmm. So he's given some instructions to a staff member. Looks like they're preparing some drinks and some other, you know, like hors d'oeuvre type things. Like they're making a tray. It's got like drinks on it, hors d'oeuvres. It's got like some towels for some reason. you know, like a little incense burner, some stuff like that.
I'm gonna start like staring at him while I sit at the bar.
Okay. He's talking to the staff member. It needs to be just right now. This is our greatest customer. So his evening needs to be perfect, right? So just whatever they need. I mean, whatever they need, you just make sure. And then he turns to you.
I'm like, so the woman who went with Alafi, if anything happens to her, I'll burn this place to the ground.
Oh, sir.
I know Alafi, but I'm telling you, Alafi seems like a good man. If anything happens to her, this place will be gone from the earth.
And the camera cuts.
I'm about to cry.
Okay. That is a wrap, boys. I think that's the perfect place to stop.
Well, that was good.
Yeah.
I feel good stuff.
So good. Fuck.
Cannot wait till the morning.
Jamming, because we're right on the cusp. There was almost resolution.
So painful. Oh, so painful. My.
The morning is always full of new hope and new opportunity.
We should. Oh, you know what would be good?
And sometimes regret.
Overlay here is Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony. I love that. I love that. It's one of my favorites.
Such a good session.
Yep. And it was good. Nice job, both of you guys.
Yep. Oh, no, yeah.
Everybody.
Again, yeah. It was easy peasy for me. So, okay, boys. So I think we're in a great shape. I'm going to do some off-screen stuff. Well, I don't know. I'll probably do off-screen stuff with Dalen and Lev. Mm-hmm. So that when we next have an actual session, it's probably going to be the next morning. Mm-hmm. And now I got some good ideas on where things can go. So if I get crazy, maybe I'll do some unplugged sessions with Dalen and Lev, and we'll knit it all together.
That would be pretty sweet too.
So the Lev one I'll be interested in. The Dalen one I think I can just do Ty and I doing emails back and forth. Mm-hmm. But the Lev Barzini Laertes, that could be some good stuff. Yeah. Or maybe that'll be what we start with. We'll do a flashback to that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
all right, boys.
I just want to point out, I know late for you, Rex, but you know, these were pre-gen characters that we played in a one-shot.
Yes.
That's fucking awesome, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I love this. I've grown attached to a lot of my characters, but yeah, it's good.
Fuck. Yeah, there's definitely feelings here, which is fun.
And this is going to contradict something I'm going to say on that other podcast, when I talk about system matters, because you could probably argue, no, it doesn't, because we're almost not using the Numenera system at all at this point in time, and we're doing some great role play.
Yep. Three roles.
Yeah. Well, we will discuss these. I think I could go. I could argue both sides, and and perhaps I will,
because
I think it would be an interesting discussion. It's almost like we should have a round table.
Good idea. You guys.
Yeah.
Good idea.
All right, boys.
Great work.
Thank you so much. Yep. This was excellent.
Yep. And yep, I so will. This is me, right? I can process this recording.
Yep.
It sounds like Jason, you want to do the one on Tuesday, right? Sounds like we're all over it.
Yep.
I'm preparing even.
I've got it recorded as well. If we
I know,
need.
But I mean, we should just pick who's gonna. I don't mind doing it since I've been doing the Numenera
for the end
up till now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds good.
Good night.
All right, boys.
Yep.
Have a good night.
Good night.